Your ability to set goals and make plans for their accomplishment is the master skill of success. There's no other skill that will help you more in fulfilling your potential in achieving everything that you are able to accomplish. All major accomplishments today are called multitask jobs. They consist of a series of steps that must be taken in a particular way in order to accomplish a result of any significance. Even something as simple as preparing a dish in the kitchen with a recipe is a multitask job. Your ability to master the skill of planning and completing multitask jobs will enable you to accomplish vastly more than the average person and is critical to your success. The purpose of planning is to enable you to turn your major definite purpose into a planned, multitask project with specific steps, a beginning, a middle, and an end, with clear deadlines and sub-deadlines. Fortunately, this is a skill that you can learn and master with practice. This skill will make you one of the most effective and influential people in your business or organization, and the more you practice it, the better at it you will get. Fortunately, in the previous sessions, you have identified and assembled all the ingredients necessary to create a plan for the achievement of one or more of your goals. First, you now have a clear vision of your ideal end result or goal based on your values. You know what you want and why you want it. Second, you have written out your goals, organized them by priority, and selected your major definite purpose. Third, you have created measures and standards to track your progress, and you have set both deadlines and sub-deadlines as targets to aim at. Fourth, you have now identified the key obstacles, difficulties, and constraints that stand between you and your goal and organize them by priority. Fifth, you've identified the essential knowledge and skills that you will require to achieve your goal. Sixth, you have organized these competencies by priority and developed a plan to learn what you need to learn to accomplish what you have decided to accomplish. And seventh, you have identified the people, groups, and organizations whose help and cooperation you will require both inside and outside your business. You have decided on the specific steps you're going to take to earn the support and assistance of these people in achieving your goals. Throughout this process, you have written and taken notes so that you now possess the raw materials and tools for the creation of a plan of accomplishment. Now you are ready to put it all together into a plan of action. Some time ago, Inc. magazine reported on a study they had conducted of 50 startup companies. Half of these companies had spent several months and even more to develop complete business plans before they began operations. The other half of this group had started without detailed business plans and were simply reacting to events as they occurred in the day-to-day operations of the business. 2 to 3 years later, the researchers went back to determine the levels of success and profitability of these companies. What they found was quite interesting. The companies that had started operations with clear, written business plans, carefully thought through and detailed in every respect, were vastly more successful and profitable than those companies that had started spontaneously and had made things up as they went along. The companies that had started on the back of an envelope, where the founders were too busy to sit down and do the detailed work of strategic planning, were almost all floundering. Many of them were already bankrupt and had gone out of business. Here was the most interesting discovery. When they interviewed the business founders, they asked them, "How often do you refer to your strategic plan in the day-to-day operations of your business?" In almost every case, the entrepreneurs and executives running the businesses had not looked at the strategic plan since it had been completed some months ago. Once it was done, they put it in a drawer and seldom revisited it until the following year, when they went through the strategic planning process once again. The most important finding was this. The plan itself was seldom referred to, but the process of thinking through the key elements of the business was vital to their success. General Dwight D. Eisenhower, after the successful invasion of Normandy in World War II, was asked about the detailed planning process that went into the invasion. He said, "The plans were not important, but the planning process was critical." It is the exercise of working through and discussing every key element of the business plan that is more important than any other step at the beginning. This is why Alex McKenzie, the time management expert, said, "Action without planning is the cause of every failure." An old military axiom says, "No plan ever survives first contact with the enemy." From the first day that you begin actual business operations, the situation will change so rapidly that your plan will become obsolete in many respects within a few days or even a few hours. But it is the process of planning that is most important. Scott McNeely of Sun Microsystems says, "In a startup business, you have to be prepared to throw out all your assumptions every 3 weeks." All successful people work from written plans. The great achievements of mankind, from the building of the pyramids forward to the great industrial operations of the modern age, were all preceded by and accompanied by detailed plans, carefully designed and thought through from beginning to end before they began. In fact, every minute spent in planning saves 10 minutes in execution. Every minute that you spend planning and thinking before you begin will save you time, money, and energy in getting the results you desire. This is why it is said that failing to plan is planning to fail. The number one reason for failure is action without planning. People who say that they are too busy to plan in advance must be prepared for unnecessary mistakes and great losses of time, money, and energy. It is said that every new business startup is a race against time. From the first day, the company founders are scrambling to find a way to make more money than it costs to stay in business. If they figure out the profit model and begin generating revenues in excess of costs before the money runs out, the business can turn the corner and succeed. But if the money runs out before they figure out how to make more profits than losses, the company, like a plane in a dive, will crash and burn. There's a 6P formula for personal and business success. It is, proper prior planning prevents poor performance. There are 7 advantages to proper prior planning. First, the planning process forces you to organize your thinking and identify all the key issues that must be dealt with if you're ultimately going to be successful. Second, thinking through what you must do to accomplish your goals enables you to plan your actions carefully before you begin, thereby saving you enormous costs of time, people, and money. Third, a good plan, thoroughly discussed and evaluated, enables you to identify flaws and errors that could prove fatal to your business later on. A good plan enables you to ask what-if questions. For example, what are the worst possible things that could happen if you were to take a particular course of action? In many cases, as a result of careful planning and analysis, the decision makers will realize that it is not possible to achieve a particular goal with the time or resources available or under the existing circumstances. Sometimes the very best business deals in your career are the ones that you don't get into in the first place. I worked for a wealthy man some years ago who gave me a piece of advice I never forgot. He said, "It is always easier to get into something than it is to get out of it." He taught me that the time to do the careful thinking is before you commit resources and people, not afterwards. The fourth benefit of proper prior planning is that it enables you to identify weaknesses in your plan and make provisions to compensate for those weaknesses. Often, you can identify a fatal flaw that, if you are not aware of it, it could lead to the failure of the enterprise. This is only possible by going through the planning process. Fifth, planning enables you to identify strengths and potential opportunities that you can take advantage of to increase the likelihood of success. Often, you will be unaware of your particular strengths or the opportunities that exist in the situation before you go through the planning process. The sixth benefit of planning is that it enables you to focus your time and money and concentrate all of your resources on the one or two objectives that you must achieve to make the enterprise successful. In the absence of clear focus and concentration, you will tend to spread your energies over a wide area and end up accomplishing very little. The seventh benefit of proper planning is that it will inevitably save you hours, weeks, and months of confusion, mistakes, and losses of both money and energy. Planning is a discipline and a skill. It is both a habit and a competence. This means that you can learn it and learn them to a high level through repetition and practice. Planning is a skill that you can master, and it is much easier than you might think. In its simplest form, a plan is a list of every activity that you will have to engage in from the beginning to the end in accomplishing a specific goal or objective. To begin the process of planning, you take a sheet of paper and you make a list of everything that you can think of that you will have to do to achieve your goal. As you think of new items, which you will, add them to the list. Continually revisit your list and revise the items and steps as you get more information. This list then becomes your blueprint for the construction of your dream house, of your ideal goal or result. The process of planning is for you now to organize your list by priority and sequence. You organize the items on your list by priority by determining which tasks or activities are more important than other tasks or activities. You organize the items from number one, the most important, all the way through to the least important. You then organize your list by sequence as well. In sequencing, you determine which activities need to be done before or after other activities. Often, one task cannot be accomplished until another task has been completed. Sometimes, the accomplishment of a single task can be the bottleneck or choke point in the entire process. In planning, very often the success of the plan will be determined by the achievement of a particular goal or objective within the plan. This may be the completion of construction on a new office, store, or factory. It may be the date of delivery of the first finished product or service. It may be the achievement of a particular level of sales by a specific date. It could be the hiring of a key person for an essential job. The planning process helps you to identify the vital elements of the plan and focus more of your time and attention on the most important tasks and activities that must be accomplished before success is possible. No plan is perfect the first time it is created. Most plans to accomplish something new will fail over and over again at the beginning. This is to be expected. Your ability to accept feedback and make corrections to your plans of activity is vital to your success. Keep asking, what's working and what's not working? Be more concerned with what's right rather than who's right. Remember the old saying, back to the drawing board? Whenever your plan doesn't work, relax, take a deep breath, and revisit your plan. When you have a problem, resolve to be solution-oriented. Expect difficulties as a part of the process and resolve to respond to them effectively. If you're not achieving your goals on schedule, ask, what is the problem? You can also ask, what else is the problem? Then ask, what are the solutions and what else is a solution? What can we do now? What is the next step? It seems that when you begin work on the achievement of a new goal, you immediately experience setbacks, obstacles, difficulties, and temporary failure. This is to be expected. It's normal and natural. It takes tremendous effort to launch something new and make it successful. But this is the price that you have to pay to achieve the goals that you've set for yourself. Always think on paper. Be continually making lists and sublists of every step in every process. Keep updating and revising your plan, making it better and better until it's perfect. Remember, planning is a skill. Because it's a skill, it is completely learnable. Your ability to think, plan, organize, and initiate action toward your goal will eventually put you in the top 10% of your field. But it takes time. One of the ways that you can think on paper is to create a project planning sheet for the accomplishment of a multitask goal. In this way, you create a visual image of your goal and the steps you need to take to achieve it. This project planning sheet can be very helpful in opening your eyes to the strengths and weaknesses of the planning process. In project planning, you write the days, weeks, or months that you think the project will require to complete across the top of the page. If it's a 12-month project or goal, you write the names of the 12 months from this month forward. This now gives you a timeline for the project. Down the left-hand column, you make a list of all the tasks that must be accomplished in proper sequence for you to achieve the ultimate goal. What will you need to start or do first, and second, and so on? In the lower right-hand corner, you write clearly what your final ideal result will look like. The greater clarity you have about your desired goal, the easier it will be for you to reach it. You can now use horizontal bars to indicate the amount of time necessary from beginning to end to complete a particular task. Some of these tasks can be done simultaneously, and others will have to be done after something else is completed. Certain of these tasks are of high priority and others are of low priority. But with a project planning sheet, which you can make yourself with a sheet of paper, you can now see your entire goal laid out in front of you with great clarity. Everyone who is responsible for carrying out a part of the plan should be involved in the planning process. It's quite common to make the mistake of assuming that a particular task can be completed quickly and easily. It's often a shock to find out that something that seems simple and easy is actually going to take several weeks or months from beginning to end. A time constraint on a critical part of your plan can force you to revise your plans completely. For example, one of my managers decided to put out a newsletter to all our customers on a new development in our business. He called our commercial designer and told him he needed it by the end of the week. He was shocked to discover that a professionally written, designed, and produced newsletter would take 6 to 8 weeks to write, print, and mail, and cost more than $2,000. The project was immediately scrapped. When you start the planning process, your biggest concern should be accuracy in identifying every step necessary and the exact time required to accomplish every step in the plan. There's a time for optimism and there's a time for realism in making plans and achieving goals. You must be completely honest with yourself at every step of the planning process and never trust to luck or hope that the laws of nature will be suspended temporarily on your behalf. In the process of planning, there is usually one major problem that must be solved before any other problems can be solved. There is usually one major goal that must be achieved before any of the other goals can be achieved. There is usually one critical element in the plan that must be dealt with before any part of the plan can be successful. For example, many companies will start up with every single detail in place except for a professional sales process to bring in revenues. The company will engage in a strategic planning process, rent or lease offices, buy furniture, set up the necessary computers and equipment to produce the product or service, hire the administrative and business staff, set up the books of account, and begin advertising. But a first-class selling process has not been installed, and within a few months or even weeks, without sales revenues, the company grinds to a halt. To a large extent, this is what happened to turn the dot-com explosion into a dot-bomb collapse. What are the critical results that you must accomplish at each step of the way to achieve your final goal? How can you plan them, prioritize them, and assure that they are completed on schedule? What is your plan if things go wrong? What will you do if it takes much longer and costs much more to achieve your critical objectives on your way to your goal? What is your fallback plan? You may have heard the line, "A great life, like a great ship, should never be held by a single hope or a single rope." The good news is that the very act of planning improves and streamlines the entire process of goal achievement. The more often and more carefully you plan before you begin, the better you will get at the planning process overall. The better you get at planning, the more ideas and opportunities you will attract to plan and achieve even bigger and better things. Your ability to decide exactly what you want, write it down, make a plan, and then execute that plan is the key to personal effectiveness and high achievement. And these are learnable skills that you can master. In no time at all, you can transform your life or business, double your sales or profitability, achieve your goals, and fulfill your true potential. Now, here are three things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, make a list of everything that you can think of that you will have to do to achieve your goal. Leave nothing out. Second, organize your list by priority. What is the most important task or activity? What is the second most important, and so on? And third, organize your list by sequence. What must be done before something else can be done? Revisit and revise your plan regularly, especially when you get new information or things are not going as you had expected. Be prepared to change if you need to. To achieve all your goals and become everything you are capable of becoming, you must get your time under control. Psychologists generally agree that a sense of control is the key to feelings of happiness, confidence, power, and personal well-being. And a sense of control is only possible when you practice excellent time management skills. The good news is that time management is a skill, and like any other skill, it is learnable. No matter how disorganized you have been in the past, or how much you have tended to procrastinate or get caught up in low-value activities, you can change. You can become one of the most efficient, effective, and productive people in your field by learning how others have gone from confusion to clarity and from frustration to focus. Through repetition and practice, you can become one of the most result-oriented people in your field. If the front side of the coin of success is the ability to set clear goals for yourself, then the flip side of the coin is the ability to get yourself organized and working on your most valuable tasks every minute of every day. Your choices and decisions have combined to create your entire life to this moment. To change or improve your life in any way, you have to make new choices and new decisions that are more in alignment with who you really are and what you really want. The starting point of time management is for you to determine your goals and then to organize your goals by priority and value. You need to be absolutely clear at any given moment exactly what is most important to you at that time. At one moment, your goal could be a business, financial, or career goal. Later, it could be a family or relationship goal. On still another occasion, it could be a health or fitness goal. In each case, you must be like a sniper rifling in on your highest priority at the moment, rather than like a machine gunner shooting off randomly by attempting to do too many things at the same time. The metaphysician and philosopher Peter Uspensky was once asked by a student, "How do I know what is the right thing for me to do?" Uspensky replied, "If you tell me your aim, I can tell you what is the right thing for you to do." This is an important parable. The only way that you can determine what is right or wrong, more or less important, having higher or lower priority, is by first determining your aim or goal at that particular moment. From that point forward, you can divide all of your activities into A activities or B activities. An A activity is something that moves you towards your goal, the faster and more directly the better. A B activity is an activity that does not move you toward a goal that is important to you at the moment. In Gallup interviews of thousands of men and women to determine the root causes of success in life and work, the importance of intelligence was mentioned again and again. But when the researchers pressed for the definition of intelligence, they received an interesting answer. Intelligence was not defined as IQ or grades in school. Rather, intelligence was most commonly defined as a way of acting. In other words, if you act intelligently, you are intelligent. If you act unintelligently, you are unintelligent, irrespective of the grades you may have received or the degrees that you have earned. And what then, by definition, is an intelligent way of acting? Well, an intelligent way of acting is anything that you do that is consistent with achieving the goals that you have set for yourself. Each time that you do something that moves you closer towards something that you really want, you're acting intelligently. On the other hand, an unintelligent way of acting is doing things that are not moving you towards your goals, or even worse, moving you away from your goals. Time management begins with clarity. You take the time to sit down with a piece of paper and think through exactly what it is you want to accomplish in each area of your life. You decide upon your ultimate long-term goals of financial success, family success, or personal health and fitness. Once you're clear about the targets you're aiming at, you then come back to the present and plan every minute and hour of every day so that you accomplish the very most that you possibly can with the time allotted to you. The basic tool of time management is a list, organized by priority and used as a constant tool for personal management. The fact is that you can't manage time, you can only manage yourself. That's why time management requires self-discipline, self-control, and self-mastery. Time management requires that you make the best choices and decisions necessary to enhance the quality of your life and work, and then you follow through on your decisions. You should plan your life with lists of long-term, medium-term, and short-term goals and projects. You should plan every month in advance with a list of the things you want to accomplish during that month. You should make a list of every step in each multitask job that you want to complete, and then organize that list by priority and sequence. Begin today to plan every week in advance, preferably the Sunday before. Plan every day in advance, preferably the night before. When you make a list of everything you have to do for the following day, your subconscious mind works on that list all night long. When you wake up in the morning, you will often have ideas and insights to help you accomplish the items on your list. By writing out your plans, you will activate the law of attraction. You will begin attracting into your life people, opportunities, and resources that you need to achieve your goals and complete your tasks the very best way possible. In the process of managing your time, you must separate the urgent from the important. Urgent tasks are defined as tasks that are in your face. They are determined by external pressures and requirements. They are things that you must do immediately, right now. Most people spend most of their days responding and reacting to urgent tasks in the form of telephone calls, interruptions, emergencies, appointments, and the demands of your boss and your customers. Important tasks, on the other hand, are those tasks that can contribute the very most to your long-term future. Some of these tasks may be planning, organizing, studying, researching your customers, and setting priorities before you begin. Then there are tasks that are urgent but not important, such as a ringing telephone or a coworker who wants to chat. Because these activities take place during the workday, it's easy to confuse them with real work. The difference, however, is that they produce no results. No matter how many urgent but unimportant activities you engage in, you contribute nothing to your work or to your company. The fourth category of tasks is those that are neither urgent nor important, like reading the newspaper at work or going for a long lunch. These activities are positively harmful to your career because they consume time that you could be using to get the results for which you are paid and upon which your future depends. The most important word in determining the value of a particular task or activity is the word consequences. A task that is valuable and important is a task that has serious consequences for completion or non-completion. The greater the possible consequences of a task or activity, the more important it is. A task for which there are few, if any, consequences is by definition not particularly important. Your aim in personal management, therefore, is to spend more time doing more of those things that can have the greatest possible consequences on your life and work. Once you've prepared a list of tasks for the coming day, review your list and apply the 80-20 rule before you begin. The 80-20 rule says that 20% of your activities will account for 80% of the value of all of your activities. If you have a list of 10 items to complete, 2 of those items will be more valuable than all other 8 items put together. 2 of the 10 tasks will have greater potential consequences for completion than the other 80%. Sometimes it will even be the 90-10 rule that applies. Often one task on a list of 10 items that you have to do during the day will contain more value than everything else put together. This task, unfortunately, is usually the task that you will procrastinate on most readily. Once you've identified your top 20% of tasks, you can then practice creative procrastination on the others. Since you cannot do everything, you will have to procrastinate on something. The only question is, which of your tasks are you going to procrastinate on? And the answer is simple. Procrastinate on the 80% of tasks that contribute very little to your desired goals and results. Focus your time and attention on completing those one or two jobs that can make the most difference. Focus your attention on those tasks that can have the greatest possible consequences for successful completion. Another method of setting priorities is the ABCDE method. This method requires that you review your list of tasks before you begin and put an A, B, C, D, or E next to each one. The very act of performing this exercise and thinking through your tasks before you start work will dramatically increase your efficiency and effectiveness once you begin working. An A task is something that is very important. It has serious consequences for completion or non-completion. If you do it or don't do it, it can have a major impact on your results and your success. You should always do your A tasks before anything else. If you have more than one A task, you organize them by priority, as in A1, A2, A3, and so on. Once you've completed this exercise, you then identify your A1 task and focus all of your energies on starting and completing this job before you do anything else. A B task is something that you should do. It has mild consequences for completion or non-completion. For example, calling a friend, going for lunch with one of your coworkers, or checking your email would be a B task. If you do it or don't do it, it may cause some inconvenience, but the consequences for your life are minor. A C task is a task that would be nice to do, but it will have no consequences at all. Having another cup of coffee, chatting with a coworker, reading the paper, or going shopping during the day are all C tasks. Whether you do them or not, they will have no consequences in your life or work at all. The rule is this. Never do a B task when there is an A task left undone. Never do a C task when you have a B task left undone. Keep focused on your A tasks throughout the day. A D task is something that you delegate. The rule is to delegate everything that you possibly can so that you have more time to spend on your A tasks. And an E task is something that you eliminate altogether. The rule is that you can only get control of your time to the degree to which you stop doing things of low value. Eliminate everything you possibly can. You are always free to choose. It is in this hour-by-hour and minute-by-minute choosing of what you will do and simultaneously what you will not do that your entire life is made. The law of the excluded alternative says that doing one thing means not doing something else. Whenever you begin on a task of any kind, you are consciously or unconsciously deciding not to do any other task that you could do at that moment. Your ability to choose wisely in terms of what you do first, what you do second, and what you do not at all determines your entire life. Successful, highly paid people are usually no more intelligent or skilled than unsuccessful, lowly paid people. The major difference between them is that successful people are always working on tasks of high value. Unsuccessful people are always killing time on tasks of low value. And you are always free to choose. You're always free to choose what you do more of and what you do less of. Your choices ultimately determine everything that happens to you. Single handling is one of the most powerful time and personal management techniques of all. What this means is that once you have selected your A1 task, you start on that task and you work on it with single-minded concentration until it's 100% complete. You discipline yourself to concentrate without diversion or distraction. If you find yourself getting distracted or you feel tempted to take a break or procrastinate, you motivate yourself by continually repeating, back to work, back to work, back to work. You then renew your efforts to push the task through to completion. Thomas Edison once wrote, "My success is due more to my ability to work continuously on one thing without stopping than to any other single quality." You should practice this principle as well. Plan your day in advance and create 30, 60, and 90-minute chunks of uninterrupted work time. These are time blocks when you can work without interruption or pause on your most important tasks. These chunks are essential for the accomplishment of any large, important, multitask job. One way to create long periods of work time is to rise early and work nonstop without interruption on a major task, project, or proposal. Sometimes you can create chunks of time in the evenings or on the weekends. But the fact is, all important jobs, those with serious potential consequences, require large chunks of single-minded, concentrated time and energy. Earl Nightingale once said, "Every great accomplishment of mankind has been preceded by an extended period, often over many years, of concentrated effort." Each day, before you begin and as you go through the day, there are five questions that you need to ask and answer over and over again. The first of these questions is, why am I on the payroll? What exactly have you been hired to accomplish? If you were being questioned by your boss and your boss were to ask you, why do we pay you money around here? What would be your answer? The fact is that you have been hired to achieve specific results that have economic value to your organization. And of all your results, 20% of what you do contributes 80% of your value. You must be crystal clear about exactly why you are on the payroll and then focus your time and attention all day long on doing exactly those tasks that make the greatest difference to your business or organization. The second question that you should ask yourself all day long is, what are my highest value activities? These are the activities that represent the highest and best use of your talents, skills, experience, and abilities as they relate to your company, career, and organization. What are they? If you're not absolutely sure of the answers, go and ask your boss what he or she thinks your highest value activities might be. Whatever the answer, dedicate yourself to working on these specific tasks all day long. The third question you should ask all day long is, what are my key result areas? As we mentioned earlier, your key result areas are those tasks that absolutely, positively must be completed in an excellent fashion if you are to achieve the ultimate results of your job. They largely determine your success or failure at work. You should clearly identify each of these tasks and then focus on not only performing at your best in each one of them, but also at becoming better in each key result area each day. Remember, your weakest key skill sets the height at which you can use all your other skills. Don't allow yourself to be held back because of a weakness in one area, especially when you can learn anything you need to learn to excel in that particular area. The fourth question you should ask yourself throughout the day is this: what can I and only I do that, if done well, will make a real difference to my company? This is one of the best questions of all for keeping yourself focused and on track. What is it that you and only you can do that can make the greatest difference in your career? Again, if you're not sure of the answer, go and ask your boss. Sometimes he or she will have not thought this through before you bring him or her the question. Sometimes he or she will not have thought about it at all. But once both of you are in agreement on the one or two things that you can do that will make more of a difference than anything else, you should focus all of your energies on performing those particular tasks quickly and well. This will do more to help you in your career than any other single decision you can make. The fifth question, and perhaps the best question in all of time management, is this: what is the most valuable use of my time right now? All techniques and methods of goal setting, personal planning, and time management are aimed at helping you to accurately answer this question every minute of every day. What is the most valuable use of your time right now? When you discipline yourself to ask and answer this question repeatedly, and you are sure that whatever you're doing is the answer to this question, you will start to accomplish 2 and 3 times as much as the people around you. You will become more and more productive. You will plow through more work of higher value and accomplish greater results than anyone around you. Discipline yourself to keep working on the most valuable use of your time, whatever it may be at the moment, and your success is guaranteed. In the final analysis, the key to high productivity and performance is this. Dedicate yourself to getting better and better at the few things that you do that account for most of your results. Simultaneously, learn to delegate, outsource, and eliminate all those tasks and activities that contribute very little to your results and rewards. As Goethe said, the things that matter most must never be at the mercy of the things that matter least. Perhaps the best single word in time management is the word no. Just say no to any demand on your time that is not the most valuable use of your time at the moment. The good news is that time management is a skill and a discipline that you can learn with practice. One rule for success is this: develop good habits and make them your masters. You can become excellent at time management with daily practice. Make a list of your tasks every day before you begin. Organize your list by priority, separating the urgent from the important and using the 80-20 rule or the ABCDE method. Choose your most important task and begin working immediately on that task. Discipline yourself to concentrate single-mindedly on that one task or activity until it is 100% complete. Each time you complete an important task, you'll experience a burst of elation, enthusiasm, and heightened self-esteem. You'll feel energized and stronger. You'll feel happier and more in control of your life. You will feel on top of your work. You will feel even more motivated to start in on and complete your next major task. Whenever you find yourself slowing down or experiencing the urge to procrastinate or delay, repeat to yourself, "Do it now. Do it now. Do it now." Develop a sense of urgency. Create a bias for action. Get started, get going, and work fast. Discipline yourself to select your most important task and then launch into it immediately and stay with it until it's done. These time management practices are the keys to peak performance in every part of your life. Now, here are 3 things you can do immediately to put these ideas into action. First, make a list of everything you would like to be, do, or have in the months and years ahead. Analyze your list and select those items that can have the greatest possible consequences on your life. Second, make a list of everything you have to do for the coming day. Let your subconscious mind work on your list while you sleep. And third, begin immediately on your most important task and then discipline yourself to concentrate single-mindedly on this one task until it is 100% complete.